Hello, friends, and welcome to the In the Whisper podcast. I'm your host, Nita Wilkinson, a self-professed joyologist and Bible girl. Join me each week as I talk to a girlfriend about life, joy, and Jesus, where we look to the Bible for all of life's questions. Welcome back to the In the Whisper podcast. This week, we are continuing talking about our prayers in the Bible. Prayers, by the way, that we're going to be memorizing at least three of them anyway throughout the year if you're interested in joining us for that. But today, we are going to focus on John 17. This is Jesus's prayer after the Passover. He has done his final teachings to his disciples, that he has given them all the knowledge he has to give them. And they've had their Passover dinner, and now this is really ending the time of all of the disciples being together, except Judas. I believe he's already left. Not positive about that, but I think he's already left. And this is the prayer he prays before them. And it's a prayer that is so relevant today. And again, I have back for my guest, Candy Horton, to talk about this. Welcome, Candy. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
So this prayer it's 26 verses. I feel like Jesus is, as he closes out his time with the disciples, he knows what's coming later that evening. He is speaking with all of the authority he's been given by his Father. It is unlike the prayer in Gethsemane, where he's begging his daddy to take away what he knows is coming, but he's willing to take it on. He knows he has to take it on, but he's human. He's fully human at this point. He's fully divine, so he knows what's coming. He knows the pain. He knows the humiliation. He knows the torture. He knows all of the things. But this prayer, you're not feeling that yet. He's speaking with authority. And there's two things that I really noticed in this prayer. There's a lot of things that I love about it, but two things that keep coming up. And one is his call to unity in his prayer with his Father, and also his call to protect his people. Those are two things that stand out to me as I read this prayer. So when you read it, Candy, what stands out to you? What's that first thing that makes you go, wow?
I think this prayer within itself is, I know it's saying, you know, Jesus is done with the teaching and he's done with sharing what needs to be done. But if you look at this prayer and you look how he has divided it up, I think you're looking at the way Jesus wants us to pray.
I agree.
He's wanting us as Christians, as believers, to pray first for ourselves. But I think God wants us to pray for ourselves and the things that we need to continue to tell the world about him. Show me what I need to do within myself. Show me what I need in my life to continue to promote you. People look at me and say, yeah, that is a Christian person. That is someone who believes.
And what he's praying for, he's not praying for a new car.
No.
And he's not praying for prosperity. He is praying that he will be glorified so that his Father will
Correct.
Be glorified.
Correct.
And I truly don't think I pray that way enough.
No.
I will say this, every morning, I'm going to preface this with, I am not successful in this at least half the time. But every morning, part of my prayer time is, not my will, but yours
Correct.
Be done. How can I serve you today, God? Not my way, but what you want me to do, that will glorify you. This does not always work. I'm sure Jesus's does.
Yeah.
But just the other night when I was praying my nighttime prayer, I said, well, God, that was short-lived today, wasn't
yeah.
it? Because it was. I mean, seriously, I prayed it, and I mean it when I pray it. And then I close my Bible and get up, and typically that, you know, I'm ready to walk out the door because I want to walk out armed for that.
Mm-hmm.
In the busyness of this season, I am ashamed to admit this prayer that I said, I only want to glorify you today, Lord. left my mind before I reached my door. And you've been in my house. Right. That's not
It's not far.
No. And when Jesus prays this, first of all, I love how he says, glorify your son so that the son may glorify you.
Right.
I always use me and I.
Yeah.
Probably, if I did it Jesus' way, I'd have more success. He prayed this when he raised Lazarus from the dead.
Right.
He prayed these same words. Let what they have seen, this is paraphrased.
Yes.
But let what they have seen here today only glorify you, God. Mm-hmm. He has raised somebody from the dead.
Yes.
And
that's pretty spectacular.
Spectacular. And he wasn't just dead either. Yeah, he'd been dead for quite a while. Jesus dilly-dallied to make sure it was that way.
I always think, did he get to heaven and they said, nope, go back? Sorry, side note to myself.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Or was he in that, where he hadn't reached heaven yet?
Okay, never mind. Sorry, go ahead.
We know there's a cloud of witnesses that are already there, and I'm pretty sure Lazarus is one of them, but did he go there right away?
Did that really happen?
Put that on your list for when you
we'll
get to heaven.
Talked about later.
But as Jesus is praying for himself, he is also praising God.
Right.
And he's saying, you've given me what I need to give to them, and I've given it all to them. They have it all now, and I just ask that it glorifies you. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. That line right there, that's how we get our salvation. He has laid it out very clearly. Verse 3. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. It's very simple.
Yeah.
It's not simple, but he puts it out there clearly. I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. He says these words, I'm done.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go die so that these words become more than that.
He's showing that within these words, that he knows what his purpose was all along, and he knows what his purpose continues to be, knowing that he's going to die on the cross, knowing that he is going to suffer, not just because of who he was, but because mankind needed him. And he knew that that's what he was put on this earth to do. It's set up. And how he prayed. He didn't pray for the world first because, he knew that what his purpose was on this was to save mankind, was to save the world. But he didn't pray that first. He prayed for himself first because he knew that it started with God and started with him. And I like the last part of it. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was.
The word was God.
Right there it tells you, I've been here all along. And this is what I pray, that everyone knows I've been here all along. When he goes down to the second part and he starts praying for his disciples, I truly believe not only was he praying for his 12 disciples, I believe he was praying for all of his disciples, everyone that followed him, the Marys,
there were many more
there, not just the 12, because he not just yes, the 12 were the important, the 12 were the ones, but he was praying for everyone that had listened to him and followed him. And to me, that in my life signifies my family, signifies my friends. Those are the people that I pray for. When I'm doing a prayer and whenever I do, I pray funny. I'm a funny prayer.
I don't think there is a funny way to pray.
I will pray, in the morning. But I get into discussions with God as I'm driving down the road.
Me too.
And, we get to chatting. And I think to myself, people must look at me and think, wow, she's really into her music. But, I consider that my prayer also. But every time I pray for my family, my boys, my daughter-in-laws, my granddaughters, my sister and her family, my mom and my dad. Then I go down to my friends, you, Chad, everybody that's there, I feel, that connects with me, that is part of my life. That's what I feel when I read that Jesus prays for his disciples. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the 12. It was everybody that was, to use the phrase, inner circle, I guess she would say.
Right.
That's who he's praying for.
No,
he's
praying agree.
For his family.
There was many, many more than the 12.
Right.
The 12 were the inner circle.
Right.
But there were many, many others. But you're right. He prayed for them. He wanted, he told, God, you've given it to me. I've given it to them.
Right.
It still hasn't been revealed to them at this point. That doesn't happen until he's resurrected. But four times in these 26 verses, he talks about unity. In verse, looks like 11, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. He's getting ready to go to the cross. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. We know that the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, have been together since before the beginning of time. It's very clear to us throughout the Bible. And he is praying for them to be one as Jesus and God are
right.
one. Then when you go to verse 21, excuse me, may they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. And that's when he's praying for us. He's praying for all believers.
Yes.
Jesus, that night after the Passover, prayed for you and me and everyone listening to this podcast and everyone that knows him or will know him. So in 21, he's saying that about all of us as believers. In 22, I have given them the glory you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. And then again, right away in 23, I am in them and you are in me so that they may be made completely one, that the world may have known you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. If we don't understand from this prayer the power and significance of unity within the Christian nation, we are missing it.
Right.
There are many other places in the Bible that talk about unity. Paul talks about it a lot as well. Jesus is making it really clear. Verse 21, 22, and 23, as he's praying for all believers, you and I, all that came before us, all that will come after us, he is praying for unity.
Mm-hmm. Unity. His own words, not Paul's words, saying this
they're,
is what
they're
Jesus
using
meant.
God's,
These are
Jesus'
his
words.
Words. This is him.
May they be one as we are one. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, so that they may be made completely one. Unity manifests God's glory. We are missing that in today's world.
Right.
When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, what is the greatest commandment? Of course, as usual, they're trying to trick him.
Right.
And he answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. I think that's where we find the unity. Mm-hmm. When we are reaching out in the love of Jesus and not worrying about all the other things. My pastor and I were talking about church, and we were going to a different church service for Christmas Eve, and he said, doesn't matter where you go to church. I said, no, I'm pretty sure Jesus is at all the churches.
Yep.
Every Sunday, every Monday, every Christmas Eve, and he just laughed. But it's true. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about church hurt, and that is, it is definitely a problem and something that has to be dealt with, but that's humans. Mm-hmm. It's not God. It's not Jesus. It's not Holy Spirit.
Right.
They're not hurting us.
Right.
It's our humanity. It's
right.
why we had to have Jesus in the first
right.
place, because we can't get out of our own way. And Jesus just makes it so clear here that unity, I just feel like it's the key. When we are in unity, other people will see us in unity loving like Jesus, and they will want to be a part of that. Not everyone, and it isn't a perfect, but I think that's the beginning. The other thing that I love about this is that Jesus is asking protection. First, he asked for protection over his disciples. And we already read that one in verse 11. In 15, he asks again, I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from right. the evil one. He wants them in the world so that they can continue his kingdom work. But he knows they are going to come up against evil and that they are going to need protected. And I love that he's getting ready to go and be humiliated, tortured, nailed to a cross, and death, which I have to think for at least a short time he was separated from his father. Mm-hmm. I feel fairly certain of that. And he is praying for the unity of the church, of the believers, of his disciples, and protection for people that he wants to live so they can grow his kingdom. That's amazing to me. If I knew I was going to go to a cross, I don't even know that I would be praying. I mean, I'd probably be praying, but it wouldn't be like this, that's for sure. Of course, he is divine, so.
I think also that shows the knowledge that he had that this was his destiny. When you look at his prayer for his disciples and you look for his prayer for us, this is a broken world. We live in a broken world. It will not be fixed until he comes back. But he prays for the ones that know him and with his disciples knew him. Because let's face it, he knew what was going to happen to his disciples. And I guess I think to myself, he was praying for their strength. Because yeah. we as mm-hmm. humans,
right.
we don't have the strength of God. We are supposed to get our strength from him, and he will give it to us to be. You don't know what you're going to have to go through. And it's going to have tribulations, and it's going to have hurt, and it's going to have pain.
He promises us that.
He promises us that. But when he prays, when Jesus prays for us as being believers, he's praying for us to know where we need to get our strength from. With Brad and him passing, I get a lot of, aren't you mad at God? Well, why would I be mad at God?
I was.
I know you were. We've worked through that.
We have. But even if you are mad at God, he can handle it. It's okay.
He'll handle it. But I wasn't mad at God. I was mad at the circumstances mm-hmm. and watching my husband go through what he went through. But I feel Jesus, when he prays for us as believers, he gave me that strength. Mm-hmm. He continues to give me that strength. I'm not mad at God. I'm not mad at Brad. I'm not mad at anybody. But I do need the strength that I get from God. And when Jesus says, you know, I am praying for them and what they go through, of course, we'll never go through anything what the disciples went through, I pray. But I knew where that strength came from.
Right.
I knew that I went through that, came out on the other side, and I'm like, okay, where did I get that strength from? God. And I do believe when Jesus was praying for all believers, he was praying for me.
He was.
He was praying for me.
Absolutely was.
Knowing what I was going to go through.
To face, yeah.
To face.
I love a good encouraging verse, whether it's Bible or whatever, as much as the next person. But, you know, when people say to you, God will never give you more than you can handle, he absolutely will.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we're not supposed to handle it.
No.
We're supposed to lean into no. him and let him handle it. And that's yeah. partly what Jesus is saying here.
And even the small things. Why is my garage door not opening? Even that, I'm supposed to lean on God's knowledge and him saying, okay, just call Best Door
and
Window.
Patience. And patience. And just,
yeah.
The thing is, we all be so much better off if we could just do that.
Yeah.
But we can't always. But I do want to end on verse 25 as we work through a lot of this. If you've not read John 17 lately, I highly recommend you do, and just let it wash over you because it's so beautiful. And Jesus, he's praying for you at the end, but he's praying for protection, and he's praying for unity, and he's showing us what we need. But I feel like verse 24 and 25, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am so that they will see my glory because you loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you and they know that you sent me. That's the why. This is why he came. He came so that we can be in glory with our Father, with our Savior, with the Holy Spirit. And so we know this because he came and he told us, Righteous Father, the world hasn't known you, but I've known you and they know you sent me. And that's our call to action. That's the why Jesus came. Because the world didn't know and understand and because we sinned. Right. And the call to action is, we know because he told us.
Right.
So now we have to tell other people. Our lives are really pretty simple. You know, when you say, I need to find myself, I need to know what I came to do. If you know Jesus,
you know what you came to do.
You came to use whatever gifts he gave you to share him with other people. That's your calling.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Every Christian is supposed to not judge what anybody else is doing, not tell anybody else, oh, well, you're doing that wrong, or you're living your life this way. This is it. This is the only thing as Christians we are supposed to do. We are supposed to tell them, Jesus Christ came, Son of God, died for our sins. You can be saved and have eternal life. That's what we're supposed to do.
It's audacious love. God loves you so audaciously. He sent his son to die on a cross. And, you know, I think about Jesus being on that cross. And when he cries out, oh, God, why have you forsaken me? Did God hear, Daddy, Daddy, where are you?
Mm-hmm. And we've all said that.
Right. And that's how much he loves us.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter what you've done. You can repent. And that's a whole nother conversation. And it's important and it's valuable. And you have to do it to be able to get into heaven. But first, you have to accept this audacious love that he's given you. And that opportunity is before you every day. But if you are looking for someone to talk to about this, feel free to reach out to me. I'm sure Candy would love to talk to you.
Happy to do it.
Go to a church that you know about and talk to the pastor there because they can tell you about this audacious love that there is nothing better. And I don't care what you've done.
No.
It doesn't matter. My understanding is that Jeffrey Dahmer, who was not a very nice man, accepted Jesus and repented of the complete and utter evil he did on this earth. And when he said, in the name of Jesus, I am sorry this happened, I have no doubt that he is in heaven.
Yeah. That's something that we can't grasp as humans. But again, it's exactly what we're supposed to believe. And one of the guys that I used to have in Sunday school, he's a kid. Well, he's a preacher now, but he had somebody come up to him one time and say, how can you believe all of this? How can you believe that Jesus Christ? He says, well, he says, you know what? If I'm wrong, I just made the world a better place. If you're wrong, you have a lot of answering to do. And for that to come out of a 15-year-old's mouth, that made me smile. And to tell you the truth, he even said that he started talking to that kid about Jesus.
Yeah.
And that kid said, okay, I
get it. Yeah.
And that's what we are here to do on this earth.
I have no problem with Jeffrey Dahmer being in heaven.
No.
Because I don't wish
anyone
an eternity separated from God. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what heaven looks like. I mean, we have an idea. Certainly, we have an idea of what hell looks like from the Bible. We don't know exactly either one. But here's what I do know. The place where God is where I want to be, because I don't want to be separated from him. Exactly. The place where you're separated from God will be ugly and you will never have rest. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we don't get enough rest on this earth. No. I want my eternity to be full of peace and rest. And that's part of being in the glory of God. Just to be in a place where your most important job is glorifying God. Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
It's something that as someone that's on earth, you can't wrap your head around, but you believe in it.
And know it'll be great.
And you know that this world, even though there are wonderful and amazing things, and I look at my grandchildren and I think, oh, aren't they perfect? But in this world is broken. And there is so much that you don't want to be a part of. To be amazed at what holds you, why wouldn't you want to be
right
there?
Right. I love to pray the Psalms to God, and I think these prayers are similar. We can certainly use them as templates for how we can pray, mm-hmm. but also to see how Jesus prayed right before he died, prayed for his disciples and unity and protection over his disciples and for us today. It's just amazing.
Thank you for listening to the In the Whisper podcast. If you want to know more about In the Whisper, you can find us at inthewhisper.org, where you'll find more podcast episodes, the blog, and a plethora of information to encourage you. Until next time, I'm Nita Wilkinson.